675.
Today is not your typical Sunday. It began this week with not knowing if I would even be able to be here today. Jonathan has had some setbacks this week with his health. We've had three spells of passing out this week. Something new that his heart is doing, and it's a little scary for everyone to see. We have to kind of calm everybody down and let them know we kind of understand what's going on, but in truth, with these new things, we really don't. I thought we might be at Vanderbilt today, but they have assured me that we will be fine to wait till Tuesday. He will see his cardiologist on Tuesday, and hopefully we will find out some information. The good thing is the spells themselves don't last very long. They're very fast in coming up. It's just something new. And so he's at home today. He's not going to leave mine or Janet's side until we get him to the doctor, because I don't like this passing out stuff. So we're going to keep an eye on him. But he does have a fever today. He's got a little cold as well. So that's where he and Janet are this morning. So we'd appreciate you praying for him and hoping that we will find a solution. Got a lot coming up. He was selected to go to Boise State in Cookeville, and that's coming up in a couple of weeks. And then we got camps and spring and summer football practice. So we got a lot of stuff coming up, but none of those can move forward till we find some solution. So if y'all could just remember him, we would appreciate that this week. Today also is an interesting Sunday in that it marks a milestone for me personally. It was the third Sunday in the May of 1996 that I began full-time rotation here at the Gadsden Church of Christ. I believe Miss Mavis's Bible had the exact date, and if I'm correct, that would be May the 19th of 1996. Today's going to be a different type of sermon. I thought a lot about this over the last several weeks as we led up to today. I'm big on milestones. I get wrapped up into milestones. My car hits 100,000 miles, I don't get nervous about it. I'm pretty excited about it. When it hit 200,000 miles, I'm even more excited about it. So I like milestones. And today is one of those. You know, how did I get here? You know, when we think back to 20 years ago, even more so than that, it was July of 1990 when my family moved to Henderson, Tennessee. My mom and dad would begin working at Freed Hardeman University. I would attend school there, begin attending school there that August. Along the way, during the years that I was there, I met a guy named David Lawrence from Gates, Tennessee. And David Lawrence was preaching here on the first and third Sundays opposite of Brother Bradley while he was in school at Freed Hardeman. From time to time, I would visit with him here, and then there was a couple of times where I was asked to fill in. And then that turned into filling in for a summer while he was off doing internships. But in May of 1996, I was asked to begin full-time rotation here with Brother Bradley. I never forget when Brother Frank would call and ask me to come. He would talk about somebody not being here, and all he would say was, "Can you come?" That was his words. And always the answer was yes. And so that's kind of the history of how I got here. David and I had been friends and still friends. We don't get to see each other and talk to each other as much as we used to. It's kind of like when you go to college with someone or go to high school with someone, and you don't see them as much. But if we ever get together, we're just like we never separated. And so I cherish him, and I'm grateful for him. I'm grateful that he brought me here. And we began that partnership together back in 1996. You know, things have changed a little since my first time here. Obviously, there's some things that have changed. I seem to weigh just a little bit more than I used to. There seems to be a little less hair on the top of my head than there used to be. I was single at the time that I began here. I've watched kids from this church grow up, and I've watched them have kids. I've experienced watching all the laughter and all the times that we fellowship together, all the meals we've shared, all the friendships that we've created. You know, I've taught countless lessons from this pulpit, and I got to say, this is my favorite pulpit that I've ever stood behind. This is home to me. I love being here. I love standing here. And I've countless lessons here, and I hope that my lessons are better today than they were back in 1996. I wish I had kept records like I do now. Now I pretty much have all my sermons for the last several years. Got them in my books, and I kind of know. I've got them recorded, so I kind of have an idea of what I've said and where I'm going, and try not to repeat the same things, even though I know I've told the same stories five or six times, and I appreciate you for listening to those again. But I hope that I'm better today than I was then. You know, we've welcomed some new members. We've seen some people give their lives to Christ and put Him on in baptism. We've said goodbye to some members. And many cherished friends and cherished people that are no longer with us but will always live in our hearts. Through it all, from riding over here to a place that I'd never heard of, I was a kid from Mississippi, born and raised on a dairy farm. Moved to West Tennessee, didn't know anything about West Tennessee, and began to ride over here with David. You know, from riding over here with him to standing before you weekly now, one thing has been consistent, is I've loved this church. I love this place. I love coming here. I love being here. You know, it started as a first and third Sunday, and then Brother Bradley's health got to the point that he could no longer be with us, and now it's every week, and I wouldn't have it any other way. What about the future? Where do we go from here? You know, where do we go from 20 years? It's hard to believe it's 20 years. It makes me feel old to say that. But it's 20 years. Where do we go from here? You know, I want to share with you some things this morning about going forward, about moving forward in my hope for this church, my hope for what we can accomplish, my hope for what we can do. You know, one of the things is weekly I get things together, and as I think about what I'm going to say, you know, it's all geared around trying to cultivate a great spiritual environment. Providing a place where we can open God's Word. Providing a place where we can learn. Providing a place where we can simply and truthfully come to conclusions about what the Word of God has in store for us. No preconceived notions or ideas. No doctrine that we're hanging to that any man has wrote. But simply opening God's Word and wanting to know what the Bible says. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 11, Paul is discussing kind of what the church is all about. He says there, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. We have an opportunity to take the Scriptures, to use them to build up what we can be, to learn the truth, to know the truth, and then to speak that truth in love, and to grow up into Christ. You know, that's what lessons, these sermons, our Bible classes, our home devotionals, they're all geared, hopefully, to provide instruction that is beneficial in building up the body, in moving us forward with Christ. Society is going to change. What's popular is going to change. What's appealing to the church in general is going to change. We see it. We've experienced it. But you know, one thing that doesn't change is the truth of God's Word. One thing that never changes is what He's asked us to do and what He wants us to be. And so, that's what I want to focus on, and that's what I hope to focus on. There are times when there are some lessons that will draw distinctions between what we believe and what we teach here from the Scripture versus what others may believe. But I hope that through those 20 years that I've been consistent in my desire not to call out other religions, not to insult anyone else's beliefs, not to name names and to do things like that, but to simply and truthfully just present God's Word, because I think that's all we need to do. There are times when there are teaching that will distinguish between what others believe. And we talked about one in Bible class where we talked about being born of water and Spirit. I cannot help but talk about being born of water and Spirit because it's what Jesus said. It's what He taught. It's what He wants us to do. If that is in contrast with what someone else believes, those are things that cannot be helped. But I've always wanted to present the truth in a fashion that simply says, this is the truth. And never try to insult or talk down or to make anyone feel uncomfortable. I want to create a spiritual environment where we can together grow and move forward and to become the best Christians we can be. I don't always get it right. I don't always have the best sermon each week. Some weeks, such as this week, my time is devoted elsewhere and having a full-time job, it's not the same. And I understand that. But the plan from my heart is always to present something that will be beneficial and that will build us up. Another thing I want to talk about this morning, turn to Hebrews 10 for just a second. Hebrews 10. And I want to approach this from a little bit of a different angle. Hebrews chapter 10, in verse 23. It says there, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near." Hope for greater attendance. And as I say that, I want you to kind of walk with me here as we talk about this. I believe this place is special. Without question, I believe this place is special. For 20 years, I've been coming here. I know the people here are special. I know what we do is special. And I know it's unique because when someone is not here, we notice. We notice. We know. We feel it. We can see it. We can experience it. You know, there are some great churches out there that are huge. They offer all kinds of things, and they can do all kinds of things, and it's a unique experience, and you can really learn a lot and do a lot and really be involved in a lot of different things. But in a lot of those big churches, you don't know everybody. You don't see who's missing. And it can be to the point where you don't feel missed. Here, that's not the case. You know, we have something that I believe is special that we should share with others. And as we look around today and we look at our empty spaces, we need to ask ourselves, who can we share this with? We have a lot to offer. First off, we offer the gospel. We offer salvation through the gospel of Jesus Christ. We offer help for lost souls, and that trumps everything else. But we also offer an environment where you feel welcome and you feel needed and you feel wanted and you feel missed when you're not here. How many places in the world are left that really care, that really miss you, that really want to see you? Well, this is one of them. As we think about the future, we need to think about, who else can we bring in? Who else can we encourage? Who else can we share this very special thing with? Being a member of the Lord's church, striving, working hard together to be what the Bible says and to simply be a Christian. And obviously, it goes without saying today that I want everyone to be saved. That's why I do this. I mean, at the end of the day, that's why you teach the gospel. I'm not going to lie. Preaching, there is a little ego involved. There is. You want to always deliver a good sermon. You want people to like what you say. You want people to respond to what you're saying, and you hope that you reach people. There's a little ego involved. I don't discount that. That's true. But at the heart of what we're doing today is a desire for all to be saved. A desire to impart truth. A desire to help people see the importance of being what God wants them to be. And most of the lessons that I preach, they're really geared to me more than anyone else. It's reminders. It's encouragement. This is what we need to work on. I don't know your life. I don't know what you've got going on, but I know mine. I know when I need to do things differently. Some of these lessons are geared to just say, hey, this is what we need to do. You know, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, it says, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill His promises, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." God doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants us all to be saved. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, "For He says, 'In a favorable time I listened to you, in a day of salvation I've helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation.'" There will be no greater day than today. No greater time than right now. That's what it's all about. As Christians, our job is to be the people we're supposed to be, and then reach our hands out and try to help others to attain what we know the Bible promises and what God wants us to reach. I don't want anybody to be lost. I want all to be saved. And I want us all to have an opportunity to find others to do the same. It's my hope for the future. Very simple. I just want us to grow. I want us to grow spiritually. I want us to grow together. I want us to establish a legacy that's going to live long after I'm no longer standing here. Church is so special. This place is so unique. I realize today is different. It's not my formulaic sermon for sure. But too often in life, we don't say what we should. Too often in life, we wish we would have said this. Or we wish we would have said that. Today is me saying to you, thank you for letting me be your minister for 20 years. I love this church. And I'm glad that I can call myself the minister here. No, I'm not perfect. I know there's things that I could do better. And I want to do those better. But I'm glad I get to do them here. This church is special. And I hope you realize it. I hope you understand how wonderful this place is. Because it's you. You're the place. It's not the building. It's not our area. It's you. I want to leave you with this morning. It's because I know you. I came as a student, just trying to fill in. Not knowing what I was doing, but knowing I was better because I knew you. May 96 was the faithful year. The first and third Sundays became my time. As I learned what to do and developed my style, I knew I was in the right place. And it was because of you. That same year was special because I met my bride. A year later, we were married. As we think back to that day, we always remember it was made more special because of you. We began our married life and started a family. We had two boys, both born in June. I know as they grow and look back on their childhood, they will know that they are better because they know you. Today marks 20 years I've stood before you. That's a lot of lessons, a lot of laughter, and unfortunately some tears. No one knows the future or how much longer we have, but I know myself, my family, and our spiritual lives have been made better because we know you. This morning, I would like nothing more than to be able to celebrate this day with someone who needs to make a change, with someone who needs to do different in their lives. There's no greater celebration than the one that takes place when someone who is lost comes back. So today, would you celebrate with me if you need to, if you have a need? Won't you come as we stand and sing?
I have resigned.